So we talked about al-awwal, the first without a starting point, al-akhir, the last without ending point. Al-dhahir is the outward, al-batin is the inward. Okay? And we said that we are contained in time. We don't contain time. Time will age us. No one can escape time. No one can challenge time, because time will age everything else. Okay, time is stronger. It will age everything else, and it will make everything cease existence at the end. So time conquers everything else, all creations of Allah. Allah sees everything together happening, just like a storyboard, like storyboard of like Prophet Muhammad. You see on the board picture of where he was born, another picture where he died. Okay? And Allah looks at, you look at it, they are all happening together. This is like what Allah is. Simplified example, that Allah can look at your life all together and next life all together. For Allah, it's all happening together. It's all happening. Okay? So He doesn't have yesterday, today, or things like that. Okay? So now, this is about the beginning and the end. How about Zainab?
Time.
How about, yeah. Okay. How about the beginning and the end? How about al-zahir and al-batin? What do we mean by Allah's outside? He's outside the most outside, and He is inside the most inside. Let me give you an example. Let's say you have a microscope. Power 1 to 100. And you zoom on something. Do you see the inside of this thing?
No.
You do. You do. Let's say we zoom on this piece. We can see one with a power, microscope power 1 to 100. We can see it. How about if we increase the power? Assalamu alaikum. Say alhamdulillah. Yarhamukumullah. Then you say, Yahdina wa yahdikumullah. Let's say you increase the power of the microscope. You increase the power of the microscope. And then now the microscope power is 1 to 1,000. Do you get to see more? Yes. How about if you increase the power of the microscope 1 to 10,000? Do you see more? How about 1 to 100,000? Do you see more? The more you increase the power of the microscope, the more you can see. But where do you stop? Where do you stop? Let's say the strongest ever microscope is 1 to 10 million. Then you can see a lot of things.
Atoms.
Yes, you can see a lot of things. Not really atoms, but you can see a lot of things. Okay? Now, this will be the end. That's the most inside you can see. Okay? So, literally speaking, inside is infinity. Okay, why is inside is infinity? Because the more is the powerful of your microscope, the more you find out about things. Okay? So Allah, if you say the power of a microscope is infinity, if we somehow bring infinity power microscope, okay, it keeps going up and up and up, no end. Okay? At the very end of infinity, you will be seeing the most inside. You understand? You got it? So here's the microscope. If this microscope can magnify things 1 to infinity, like can go into up any power you want, you keep increasing it, you see more. Increase more, 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 more. When you do infinite in power, then you see the most insight. Because there is nothing more than the infinity, right? You got it? There's nothing more than that thing. So this is where the most inside is. And Allah is inside the most inside. Allah is outside the most outside. Let's say you have a telescope now. You have a telescope. And hello. And you're expanding, you know, extending the power for your microscope, of the telescope to see the outside. Okay? You keep increasing the power of the telescope to see more from outside. Because here you can see the outside. You increase the power of the microscope, you see a more accurate outside. You keep increasing the power of the telescope, you keep seeing more further and further away. You keep increasing. Let's say you increase the power of the telescope to infinity. Then you'll be seeing the most outside because there's nothing beyond infinity. Do you understand that? So Allah is outside the most outside. Allah is inside the most inside. There's a hadith, but this hadith is narrated in Shia books of hadith. It's not narrated in Sunni books of hadith. But I will say it anyway because it means its meaning is correct. The two angels, one is coming from under the seventh earth, and the other one is coming up from under the seventh earth, and another one is coming down from above the seventh heaven. So one is coming down from the seventh heaven, another one is coming up from the seventh earth. They meet in the middle. So the first angel asks the second, "Where are you coming from?" He said, "I'm coming from Allah. I was with Allah and I'm going back."
Wait, which one? The one in
the one coming up. "How about you?" He said, "I was Allah. I was with Allah and I'm coming back." You see? So both of them, he said, "I went up to see Allah and then I'm coming down." The other one said, "I went down to see Allah and then I'm coming up." You see? So he's inside the most inside. He's outside the most outside. One angel is coming from inside the most inside, met with an angel coming from outside of the most outside. They all meet in the way. He said, "This is I was with Allah." And the other one says, "I was with Allah."
How is he both there?
SubhanAllah, wonders. Wonders. Do you know that when you make dua during travel, what do you say? You say, "Ya Allah, help me with my travel and help my family. Protect me in my travel and protect my family back home."
Yeah, there's a surah.
Okay, look at this. You want Allah to be with you, and at the same time, you want Allah to be with your family. You got it? So you can't do anything with other than Allah. You can't do anything like that with other than Allah. I can't ask you to guard me in my travel and at the same time guard my family home. Right? Only Allah, when we make this dua, it's beautiful because only Allah, only you can depend only on Allah to guard your family home and to guard
yourself.
To guard you in your travel. Okay? The Prophet said, the first heaven will look to the second. And when you look at the first heaven from the second heaven, you see it like a quarter in a desert. When you look at the second heaven from a third heaven, you see it as a quarter in
the second heaven.
Desert.
Oh, desert?
Yeah. You look at the fourth heaven, you see it as quarter in
desert.
Desert. And the more you go, the further you go, you keep seeing every heaven from the above heaven like a quarter in a desert. And then this quarter in a desert, when you reach to the seventh heaven, then what is after the seventh heaven?
Allah's throne.
The throne of Allah. So when you look at the seventh heaven from the throne of Allah, it's like a quarter in
a desert.
Desert. When what is above the throne? The chair, the royal chair of Allah. Do we have an ayah about the royal chair of Allah?
Ayat al-Kursi.
Ayat al-Kursi. Kursi means the royal chair of Allah. Then after the royal throne of Allah is the royal chair of Allah.
What's the difference?
There's a throne and there's a chair. There's a throne.
The throne is the surrounding body of the chair, and then the actual chair is the part you sit on. Or like say, this is the chair. These two backpacks and the whole chair are the throne. You take them away, that's the chair.
Yeah, so, like the sort of like the room of that has the chair, sort of, or like the hall that has the chair. It has throne. Like the Sheba, Queen Sheba, when Prophet Musa asked the jinn, the righteous, like the knowledgeable guy to go and grab
Prophet
it.
Prophet Suleiman.
Yes, Prophet Suleiman. He brought the entire throne. He just didn't bring the chair. The chair and whatever around the chair.
And didn't he tell the jinn to bring it?
Jinn said, I can bring it to you.
In the blink of an eye.
Before you get up from your... before you finish this meeting and you get up from it, you will find it. And the guy with knowledge, he said, I'll bring it to you before in the blink of an eye. So Prophet Suleiman selected the blink of an eye. He depended on this blink, on this knowledgeable guy. He didn't depend on jinn. This knowledgeable guy knew secrets that enabled him. Do I have your name here?
Yeah.
Where is it? This one?
Yeah. Okay.
You see? So then what is, then when it comes, the chair, the throne and the chair, the chair and the throne and the chair, and you keep coming up, then after you reach to the chair, is there anything after the chair? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is above his chair. His location is in heaven. Where is Allah located? There was a little girl who came and asked Prophet Muhammad, where is Allah located? She just said, where is Allah? So the Prophet said, in heaven. Is Allah located everywhere? No. He's located in heaven. Why isn't he located everywhere? Because there are things that is not appropriate for His Majesty to be there. Like, can you say Allah's in the toilet? He's located everywhere.
Yeah.
So, can I say Allah's here?
Yeah.
No. Can I say Allah is there? No. Where is Allah? Everywhere? No. But His power and knowledge is
everywhere.
Is everywhere. His power, knowledge, control, command is everywhere. But He Himself is not located everywhere. He's located in heaven. Just like the Prophet told to the little girl. Now, the first and the last are the beginning and end of time. The inward and the outward are the space. So Allah is infinite in time and infinite space. Why? Because we say the inward and the outward. Then that's the space thingy, right? And then we say the beginning and the last. That's time. So He's infinite in time and infinite in space. Okay? No one can know the whole Allah. You understand? Like, I know everything about you. Yes, I can know everything about you. Okay? But can anybody say, I know everything about Allah?
No.
No. It's impossible. Because Allah's infinite. Allah's names are infinite. Allah Himself is infinite. He's infinite in everything. So you can't know the infinite. Right? You can only see part, or you see the faces of Allah. The face of Allah. You see Ar-Rahman, the face of Ar-Rahman. You see the face of Ar-Rahim. You see the face of Al-Muntaqim. You see the face of Al-Jabbar. However, Allah is at the same time pleased and displeased. Allah at the same time is happy and angry. You understand? Like the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will judge people on the day of judgment altogether. Everyone will be talking to Allah like you see the moon. You'll see Allah like you see the moon. And everybody will be talking to Allah, and this person will think that Allah is talking only to him or herself. They wouldn't. Okay. So you can see how Allah, when He's judging bad guys, He's angry, and when He's judging good guys, He's pleased. Right? How? It's the same thing happening with Allah. Allah could be two things at the same time. He could have two faces at the same time. One good face for the good guys, one bad face for the bad guys. So it depends on who you are. You will experience one of these faces. Either you experience the face of Allah the Merciful, or you see Allah the Kind, or you see Allah the Forgiving, or you see Allah the very severe in punishment. You see Allah the one who retaliates against criminals. You see Allah who's the mighty in his revenge. This is what you see if you're a bad guy. Okay? Did you get this part, Melina? Is that enough?
Okay, interesting.
So, nobody knows the whole Allah. Allah judges people together at the same time. Allah is pleased and displeased at the same time. And you get to see the face of Allah that fits with your deeds.
Okay.
Okay. So, now what is the most pleasurable thing in the Day of Judgment? What is the thing that we love the most on the day? Like the most... The most...
We see Allah's face.
Yes. The most joy in Jannah. What's the most joy in Jannah? Is to see Allah's face. If the people of hellfire would see Allah's face, they will not feel the punishment of the hellfire. In hellfire, they will feel joy. Even though they are inside hellfire, but they feel...
Joy.
How is that possible? Because the beauty of the face of Allah is so beautiful that makes you forget everything else. Even if you're burning in hell, you forget it. And that's why the bad guys are forbidden from seeing Allah.
Why?
Allah says, because when you see Allah, you get so much pleasure by seeing his face.
Good instead of bad.
Yes, so they will not feel the punishment. Okay, and the most joy for the people of Jannah is seeing the face of Allah. So the people on the top, the people on the very top level of Jannah, on the very top level of Jannah, those people see the Allah, see the face of Allah day and night. You go down, then you get less exposure to the face of Allah. So the people, the poor people of Jannah, the ones who have the least property, the ones at the lowest floors in Jannah, they don't get to see Allah that often. They get invited every once in a while to see Allah, Allah's face. You can't see the whole Allah. You see only one face of Allah. So they get invited to see the face of Allah every once in a while. Okay? So... But the prophets and the martyrs and all those kind of people will get to see Allah every day. Because it's so much pleasure. The Jannah that Allah creates, because Allah is the infinite. Jannah is created. You might say, okay, how can I have an everlasting life in Jannah? How could it happen that I have everlasting life without aging, without dying? How could it be true? Because Allah is the infinite. Allah is the infinite, and He's going to give you an infinite Jannah. And also He's going to give the bad guys infinite hell. Because He is infinite, so His reward is infinite, His punishment is
infinite.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He or she abstract things in language, abstract things, take the male pronoun. Like he, abstract things are he, like shaitan, he.
It's because there's no
intimacy.
You never know who he is.
Huh?
I remember last year, the teacher told the class that a group of feminists came up to me and asked, why is it always he? Why not she? Well, okay, can you imagine shaitan as a she?
Not really.
Yeah, exactly. It's to show, because in Arabic we're not actually saying Allah is male. No. We're just using he.
He's nothing.
There's no it. In
he's not male or female.
Say it means he.
In Arabic, in English also, we don't use it. We use him, right? We say His Majesty. We don't say Her Majesty.
Yeah, sounds more realistic.
Abstract things, they use the male pronoun for abstract things. Things that are not male or female. Allah is not male or female. Allah's unit is one unit. One, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. He is one unit, complete, flawless unit. Complete and flawless unit. You can divide it. Can you divide it?
No.
No. You can't slice it. Like our Christian brothers, cousins, they slice it as the God, the Holy Ghost, and the Son. The God, the Son, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost.
The Spirit.
That's correct. But Allah is قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ
أَحَدْ.
أَحَدْ. Can he be divided?
No.
No. He is the unit. Say he is Allah, the unit. The not dividable unit. The one of a kind, because you can have a car, one car, but can you break the car into parts?
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can. Yes.
It can work.
I understand, but the car is made of parts.
Yeah. Okay.
Is Allah made of parts?
No.
No.
No. One unit.
It's one full unit. Okay. Now, when the people of hellfire, the Muslims who disobeyed Allah, okay, or the not the Muslims, the believers who disobey Allah, believers from all times, like the followers of Prophet Nuh are believers, submissive to Allah, and the followers of Prophet Ibrahim are believers and submissive to Allah. So when those believers, the bad guys or the non-believers, the ones who did not believe in the message and they did bad deeds, okay, they, if they are Muslims or if they are believers, they go to hellfire. Which level they go to? They go to the level of hellfire, the first level. The first level of hellfire is called Jahannam. Jahannam. Yes. And Jahannam is infinite in itself. Allah, Jahannam is so hungry monster. It's a monster that's so hungry. The more flesh Allah provides for hell, the more hungry it gets. It says more. Allah throws away other group in hellfire, and the hellfire says more.
But what if, I thought you just stay in hellfire, not be eaten.
No, you die and then Allah like brings you back to life and you'll die again.
Keep dying forever?
Yeah.
You keep, in other words, you keep feeling the pain of death.
Every day?
Every day. You keep feeling, like, for example, if somebody killed 70 people, Allah will kill you 70 times. Allah will kill you 70 times when you kill 70 people. And I remember that Hajjaj saw...
Because all those 70 people who died is because of him. So he's just going to be feeling the same death every day.
Yes, exactly. So Allah will kill that person 70 times. And if that person is... If the other person is like a prophet or like a very righteous person, Allah will kill you for killing this person more than one time. Like if it's a good guy, Allah might kill you like 70 times. Okay, so the people who are killing, I just can't imagine. Hitler, for example, who killed 17 million people. 17 million people he killed, and he gets killed at least 17 million times. Yes, and the punishment in hell is eternal for him because he was a super duper criminal. Did I take a picture of this?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
oh,
I did.
Oh, that one you did, but this one.
Yeah. Okay. So, when Allah wants to get the people of hellfire, the Muslims or the believers in hellfire, which they go to the first layer, when He wants to get them out, and He wants to send them to Jannah, Allah's talking about the last one who's going out of hell and going to Jannah. The first step Allah would do is will get him out of hell, but not far away. So he is the person who says, Alhamdulillah, saved me from you hell. Saved me from hell. Then Allah will raise a tree on small distance, not a small distance, like close by tree.
Yeah.
So the guy says, Ya Allah, I ask you something and I will never ask you again, anything else again. Ya Allah, can I go and be next to this tree? Allah says, fine. And then Allah makes him go to the tree. Then the next, then Allah would raise another tree, better than the one he is at. Then he says, Ya Allah, can I ask you something and I will never ask you anything again? He says, what? He says, can I go be with this tree? Fine. Allah sends him to that tree. And then Allah will raise in a close by distance a better garden, like a garden.
And he'll ask to go there?
He said, Ya Allah, I want to ask you something and I promise I will never ask you again about anything. Says what? He says, Ya Allah, take me there. Then he keeps doing that. The reason Allah wants to gradually get him out of hell to Jannah, because it can't happen right away. It has to happen gradually. So at the very end, he sees the doors of Jannah. So he says, Ya Allah, can I ask you about something and I will never ask you anything else? He says, what? Allah laughed, by the way. The Prophet ﷺ laughed when he was telling the story, and he said, Allah laughed because of what his slave is doing. And then he said, what? He said, Ya Allah, just by the door. Just by the door. So Allah said, fine. And he puts him by the door. Then he looks inside. He says, Ya Allah, can I get in? So Allah says, fine, you get in. Then he says, Ya Allah, Jannah is all occupied. There is nothing, there's no room for me. Allah says, You get 10 times as much as a king in this life. So it's like the best king or the most powerful king, whoever ruled this life, whatever kingdom he was ruling, that guy will get 10 times as much as this king have gotten in this life. And this guy, these kind of people would be called the poor people of Jannah. The poor people of Jannah. Okay, why? Because they are very poor. There is another category of the people standing on the mountain of Al-A'raf. And those people, the mistake that they did is that their good deeds and bad deeds are equal. So their punishment is to wait on the mountain of Al-A'raf until the end of the Day of Judgment before Allah sends them to Jannah. And those kind of people will be staying between the mountain of Arf, the mountain between Jannah and hellfire. So they stay here, they look at the people of hell, they get scared, Ya Allah. And they look at the people of Jannah, they get desire, Ya Allah, I want to go there. I don't want to go there, I want to go there. They stay like this 50,000 years, and at the very end, Allah will also send them to Jannah, and they will be known as the poor people of Jannah as well. All right? Okay. Salaam alaikum. Thank you.